welcome to church, friends. If I haven't met you yet, as you've heard, my name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved, and we're just so glad that you have chose to be here in the room with us tonight. And man, we are a spirit-filled church here that is here to stay, by the way. A spirit-filled church that is here to stay. Anyone can give me an amen on that. Are we here to stay tonight? We're here to stay. And we are committed to following Jesus within his life-giving church with a mindset to invite everyone I know to come and follow Jesus and to participate in having their lives turned upside down, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is our everything. We love our church. We worship loud. We go together, meaning we serve one mission and one vision. No one is meant to do life or ministry alone in this house. We see beyond ourselves and we choose to overlook offense and we set aside our preferences and we lay down the idols of individualism and comfort and control and careerism and consumerism, and we get to collectively work together, as Kevin said, work hard, play hard, and laugh often, serving a mission and vision that's larger than any one person. That's what we're here to do. And to move, this is what God's plan A is, to move people from hurt to healed. Is there anyone who's ever been healed from your hurts and from your past and from your brokenness? Nobody? I know there's a few of you that have been hurt from your past, from mistakes, from brokenness, and that's what we want to see. We want to see you keep moving from hurt to healed, because this is a house of healing. I believe that with all my heart, and this is his spiritual family, friends, a royal priesthood, lively stones. Is there some still lively stones in this place, like fitted together by the Spirit of God and for a purpose? Like, it's not just aimless that we come here and check off the book box of going to church, but man, I know God's got a purpose for every one of you, and it's a divine purpose, and sometimes you might not know what that is, but if you stick around for a little while, I believe the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you, and we've got some steps you can take and to find and discover how God's wired you to make a kingdom difference in this world and to host the presence of God when you're in his presence. Like, I want to host him. Like, God, come on in. The fridge is yours. The couch is yours. Like, mi casa su casa, Lord. Right? Like, this, I want to host the presence of the living God. But also, we're a priesthood that works and serves in the presence of the Most High God. The psalmist couldn't write it any better than as we see in Psalms 84 and verse 10. It says, better is one day in your courts, God, than 1,000 elsewhere. 1,000 days, because I would rather be, this is a scripture, this is a psalmist, a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Oh man, I love being in and serving in and worshiping in the presence of God. Amen. 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 Worship team, thank you so much for helping me tonight. I appreciate all you do. And are you ready to hear from God? Who's ready? Yeah, you still ready? Oh man! All right. I want to invite you to be responsive tonight. I want to know if what I'm laying down, what the Holy Spirit's bringing tonight, is being received. So I encourage you to vocalize your responses when God is highlighting something for you. Be a good learner tonight, a disciple of the Word of God, and lean in and listen and to learn and write it down. So get out your notebooks if you have your Bibles. Follow along. Get out your highlighter and highlight that thing to death tonight. Get out your notepads, or anything you can write on, iPads if you need. Put your fingers and thumbs to work tonight. I highly encourage you to do that so that you can take your discipleship seriously. By the way, at Beloved City Church, I know we've got a couple commercial breaks, but hey, I'm bragging on this church tonight. I love this church. And if you're not plugged into a city group yet, what are you waiting for, by the way? You ain't taking your discipleship seriously. See, listen, 1 hour a week on Sunday is not enough for our spiritual growth. And it definitely isn't growing and going together like a body's meant to grow and go together. It's meant to. That's how God designed us. You'll spiritually starve, friends. And spiritually starved people are easy targets for the devil, who, like scripture says, is looking for every opportunity that he can take you out, shoot you in the face. It's a war what we're in. You are in a war for your soul. And here at Beloved City Church, we are committed to taking our discipleship serious. And so you need it. You got to prioritize digging deep and digging deeper into the things of your faith. And there's no better way to do this than to be in the house, first off. And second of all, be in a city group and help unpack the Word of God together midweek. And so, but tonight, I really want you to learn what the Spirit is saying to you and to his church in this season. I believe this is a year where God is inviting us to ask, seek, and knock so that you might receive find and have new doors open for you and your household and your family. So Pastor Angela and I, our heart for you is that you and your family would spiritually thrive and flourish in 2025. Anyone here want to flourish in this year that we are in right now? Man, I want to thrive. I know many of you want to thrive. And I believe that's what God wants us to do as we ask, seek, and knock. So here's what I want you to do. In 2020, we started this in 2023, and we felt like God had called us to not just to plant a church, but to plant a church that would stay, that would be here long term, that would build a footprint, that would build foundations for the generations to come, that we're a prophetic church that sees into 2, 3, 4 generations and says, we're here for them too as well. And so we started this commitment we're here to stay, and we've been fundraising. Can you turn me down just a tad bit, Blaine, so I don't ring so much? Thank you so much. We're here, we're committed to staying, we're committed to growing and investing into planting ourselves into what God has called us to do and to be really intentional about it. And so I want to know if you are ready to commit this year to stay, to be persistent and to not grow weary. I've seen so many people quit on Jesus, quit on their faith, and quit on Scripture, and quit on his family, and to be taken out by temptation and pride and comfort seeking. And so that's what I want to see. I want to encourage you to be committed to know, God, I'm here to stay. I'm here to go through what you are leading me through, or you allow me to go through, but I believe that you're going to give me the courage, you're going to give me the boldness, you're going to give me the strength that it takes to make it through. And sometimes our pride gets up, you know, in our faces and our egos. And hey, we've all been there, right? But I wonder if you would learn to be committed in 2025. Like, I'm here to stay. I'm not here to quit on his mission, quit on him, quit on his way. But I want to take it serious and jump into all that God has for me. See, God wants more for us than to be just cultural Christians, right? More than tepid faith, more than just praying tepid prayers at the dinner table, or he's called you to live a life of courage, not comfort, and he's calling you to live for him courageously, to live for him boldly. Here's our theme verse for the year, and has been helping us kick off this series this week as well. It's in Matthew 7:7-8. This is our theme verse, and it's where Jesus is teaching his followers, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Say receive. And the one who seeks, finds, say finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened, say opened. Father, open our hearts to receive tonight your word, Father, that our ears to hear and our eyes to see. And God, open our minds to understand tonight what you have to say through your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, hey, I'm curious how many of you would say that you would love for God to build your faith and strengthen your prayer life. Show of hands if you would love for God to strengthen your faith, to build your faith and strengthen your prayer life. Yeah, quite a few. That's good. I love it. Yes, I'm grateful for what God wants to do in this room. So we are in a message series called Ask, Seek, Knock, and we're talking about prayers. And the problem for so many of us is, I would argue, is that we're praying way too safe. Has anyone ever prayed safe prayers? Like, oh, God, keep me safe today. God, thank you for this greasy cheeseburger. Bless it to the nourishing of my body. Like, we pray safe prayers all the time, right? So we do. And many Christians today grow up with little to no actual prayer life, like it almost non-existent. And some of you can probably actually think of a couple examples growing up when you might have prayed, kneeling at your bedside maybe, or at a friend's house where they prayed for maybe a meal at their house, and like, good food, good meat, praise God, let's eat, that kind of prayer, right? Like, I remember being a young person and praying foolishly sometimes, and like, real deep, right? Maybe you were unprepared for your test, and so you prayed on the way to class, and oh God, help me pass this exam, right? Because you didn't even prepare for it. And maybe you know, it was high school or college or whatever you're walking through. I'll be more faithful to you, God. I promise I'll quit porn if you help me pass this test today. Anyone ever prayed, or alcohol or whatever your temptation might be, like you offered some kind of bargain to God, but like, you don't think that God was really that impressed with your tepid, lame, shallow, selfish prayers that you prayed. Anyone ever been there? I've been there. I'll be honest with you tonight. I've prayed for fairly silly, selfish, tepid prayers in my life. But I believe God's saying, hey, I want you to learn how to pray. As we've been going through this 21 days of prayer and fasting, it's been beautiful to hear the testimonies of people's hearts being stirred to action by the power of the Holy Spirit as we're learning to lean in. Last 7 days, we've been praying, God, make me bold. Every day I get up, God, make me bold. I hope you've been praying that prayer with me so that God can make you bold too, because I believe that there's some beautiful boldness that needs to rise up in this house for the kingdom of heaven. But this is how we pray. Sometimes we pray safe prayers. We pray tepid prayers and self-centered, bland, like they're incredibly safe sometimes, right? Like, how often, like me, do you you pray, God, keep me safe as you get on an airplane, or like I mentioned, bless this chili dog and mega-sized Diet Coke as I go through a drive-thru because I'm so busy, and in Jesus' name to make it really powerful. But listen, following Jesus was never meant to be safe, friends. I believe one of the greatest things you can do for your prayer life is to pray dangerous prayers with great faith. And I encourage you, the book that I've read before, this called Dangerous Prayers, a lot of what I've been inspired by to preach this message series over the last week and the next 2 weeks, you can find more information in the Dangerous Prayers. But I encourage you to get that. But it's changing my prayer life. I know it's changing other people's prayer lives as well, as you learn how to pray dangerous prayers and to stop praying safe prayers and living out a safe faith. So I encourage you, grab that on the way out at the merch table. I believe it will help supplement what we are learning in this series on prayer. So last week we learned and prayed, Make Me Bold. You can leave that up for a couple moments if you want, because you can also do the devotional. Praying and following Jesus with boldness. How many of you prayed last week, God, make me bold? Anyone remember that? Did anyone pray? A couple of you prayed, make me bold. The rest of you are going to be weak and tepid for the next 3 days. But I'm praying for you, God. So you can catch up and say tonight, God, make me bold. If you didn't pray that last week, God, make me bold. I believe it'll change your life. And today we're going to look at another very dangerous prayer. And this is the prayer that a little boy prayed in the OT, the Old Testament, and it's found in the book of 1 Samuel. But I want to give you first some context before we go there. Samuel was a little boy who prayed this prayer, and he was maybe 11 or 12 years of age. So if you can imagine a fourth or fifth grade boy praying this dangerous prayer, little Samuel, what he was doing, he's working for the priest in the temple, and the priest's name was Eli. And the problem is Eli was not living an honoring life before God. His family was out of control, and Eli was living in sin, actually. He was a priest and doing some things that was not honoring and holy before God, and he hadn't turned his heart back to God. He hasn't repented, and he hasn't disciplined his family, and he hasn't led well in the house of God. And Eli was sinning against God. And so one day, this little fifth grader or so went to bed, and the Lord spoke to this little boy and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel wakes up in the middle of the night and heard his name and thought, who is that? Who's calling my name? Because he wasn't expecting to hear from God. So he dashed into the priest's room and said, did you call me? Did you say my name? And the priest is confused. He woke up, you know, he says, no, go back to bed. And so the little boy did. And a second time, a while later, the voice of the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. And he woke up startled again and ran again into the priest's room. And you called me again? And the priest said, nope, I didn't call you. Right? And he said, the Lord may be speaking to you, actually, Samuel. And if you hear your name again, here's what I want you to do, boy. Samuel, I want you to stop and tell God you want to hear from him. Tell him this. When he calls again, tell him you're his servant and that you're listening. And so we see the story picking up in 1 Samuel 3 and 10 in your Bibles. And says this, and we have it on the screen for you as well. And the Lord came and called as before. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, and this little boy prayed an incredibly dangerous prayer when he said to God, speak, your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. Speak to me, God. Like, I really want to hear your voice now. And what's incredible is that God spoke to Samuel in that moment, but what God said to him was not an easy message to hear. It wasn't something pleasant to hear. Now, before I tell you what it is that God spoke to little Samuel, I'm wondering today, would you like to play a little Bible trivia? Who likes Bible trivia in this room tonight? Anyone like trivia? A couple of you? For 500 bonus points in an extra room with an espresso machine in your mansion in heaven, you can answer this question tonight, all right? We got some ding, 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 ding going in the room like we learned last week. Here's your question. How many times in the Bible did God speak and give an assignment, and the assignment was easy to fulfill? How many times in the Bible did God speak and give an assignment to his follower and the assignment was easy to fulfill? Think about it. Think about every story in Scripture when God would speak to someone and say, here's actually what I want you to do. And they would say, oh, that's easy, God. I got this. No problem at all. Think about all the different examples that maybe that's coming to your mind even right now, especially for those of you who grew up in Sunday school. If you didn't grow up in Sunday school, I'm going to give you a couple examples. And you won't find a single time when God gave someone an assignment that was actually easy to do. There was Noah. Imagine Noah. Hey, Noah, build an ark. Noah's like, what's an ark? Right? It's like a really big boat about the size of a football field and a half. Build it. Go round up a male and female of every living creature, and I'm going to flood the world with rain. What's rain? And you're going to single-handedly repopulate the earth. Oh, no problem. Easy, God. I'm going to get right to it right after lunch. No biggie. Right? Jonah. I want you to go and preach to the most wicked and perverse and violent people alive and tell them, repent or die. God said it. Easy, God. No problem. Here we go. Starbucks on the way. New Testament. Here, an angel of the Lord appears to Mary, who is a teenage girl, 12, 13, somewhere in there. Mary, you're going to give birth to a son, even though you're an unmarried virgin. And oh, by the way, he's going to be the Son of God. Oh, that's cool, God. Real cool. That's awesome. Think about this, how this is going to help my brand. Right? Like, I'm going to blow up on social media, right? Hashtag Son of God. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag mums for God. Like, I can just imagine, right? Like, every time God would speak and give someone an assignment, it would actually challenge their faith. It would stretch them. It was never easy to hear. If you have the faith, the courage to pray, speak to me, Lord. When God does, what I hope you'll know is that it actually may convict you. His voice may challenge you. And what he asks you to do may seem completely impossible and ridiculous and overwhelming. And here's what I can promise you. What I can promise you is his voice will stretch you and teach you to what? To depend on him and live your life with even greater faith. Little boy says, speak, God, I'm listening. And unfortunately, what God didn't say to little Samuel was, okay, now that I've got your attention, I just wanted to announce to you that I'm going to pour out all my blessings on all my people. Nope, God didn't say that. God didn't say, young Samuel, you know, that cute girl in your youth group, you're going to marry her, and you're going to have three kids and a little dog, and you're going to make $200K a year as your social, you know, YouTube social media influencer. Like, that's how much I love you, Sammy. No, that's not what God said either, right? He didn't say it. Here's what God said to him, to a little boy. He says, Samuel, Eli has been sinning against me. What he's doing is not right. He hasn't turned his heart or the people's heart back toward me like I've asked him to do. Therefore, what I'm going to do, Samuel, is I'm going to judge his household. And I'm going to judge this nation. And I'm trusting you as a grade four or fiver, a little boy, to help carry this significant message. God says, I can make, so that I can make things right. It's a burden to carry. It's a weight that God entrusted to this little boy. And it's a very dangerous prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In other words, I want to encourage you, if you want to stay where you are at in your spiritual development, not grow, stay comfortable, miss out on what God has for you, do not pray this prayer. Speak, Lord. Like, don't ask God to speak if you don't want to hear what he actually has to say. But if you're brave and bold tonight, because you prayed for boldness last week, and now you can pray, Lord, speak, because I want to hear your voice. But here's what I want to do. I want to take a step back just for a moment and talk about prayer just from a little bit bigger perspective. And what I hope you'll understand is that prayer in its essence is actually communicating with our God, is communicating with our Father. It's actually going before his throne of grace, and any form of real, meaningful communication is not just one-way communication. In other words, praying to God isn't just talking to him, but praying is actually also listening to God. Praying to God isn't just talking to him, but praying is actually listening for him to speak. In fact, I would argue that God has done way more when I listen to him than when I actually talk to him in my life. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like waiting for me to shut up sometimes. I'm like, then he gives me instruction. I'm like, oh, that was great. More is accomplished half the time of my life when I just shut up and listen to God. Oh, God, I'm listening. Prayer is not just talking, but prayer is also pausing to listen to what God has to say. And I wonder for some of us in the room, if God ever wants to say enough already, like he has probably in my life. You've told me how many times already, how many things you want in life. And now would you just pause and give me a chance to respond back to you and to respond back to your need? I love you so much. Like, I just want to speak to you. I want to guide you and I want to respond to you. In other words, God is always actually speaking. The question is, are we ever listening? God is a speaking God. So you might say, okay, I'm in. I know it's dangerous, but I want to pray dangerous prayers. Because Kevin's praying them, PC's praying them, a couple others, you know. I want to hear the voice of God. So then how do I hear the voice of God? And I want to try and put this as simple as I can, like low shelf, so even little people can reach it. Make it as simple as I can, right? And I want to give you three spiritual thoughts tonight that may help you to be postured to hear the voice of God. So write these down if you can. So if you're still taking notes, the first thing I would encourage you to do, which just to be honest and really upfront with you, the first one is against the trajectory of everything in our host culture, by the way. Like the first thing, it's against everything culture is going to tell you. It's this one. Number one is to be still. Be still before God. To pause and to rest in his presence. See, busyness is a badge of honor in our culture, as you know. I'm so busy. Busy little bees. Only no one's making any honey. And can barely keep their head above water as we tread the waters of this busy life sometimes, isn't it? In fact, in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 46 and verse 10, tells us how to experience the presence of God. And let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, be frantic in that you will know that I'm God. Right? Be busy and you will know that I'm God. Seek me on the go and you will experience me. No, but what it says in Scripture, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm God. Like, you got to pause, stop, and be still and know that I am the Lord your God. Be still. Here's my question for you. When is the last time you binge-watched Netflix for an hour, or maybe Amazon Prime or Disney, whatever your favorite one is? When's the last time you just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled? We call it doom scrolling nowadays on social media for maybe an hour or so, or played games. Maybe it was Xbox for an hour or whatever. You know, or worked out. I like working out too, but how, you know, maybe you spent an hour working out or done something else that you really enjoy. Maybe you read a book or whatever it might be. Just devoted an hour of your day to do something. Every one of us has done that this week, probably a few times, if not every day. We've devoted an hour of our time to something that we actually enjoy. When is the last time you just paused and you shut everything down and spent an hour or so enjoying the presence of God? Listening to hear his voice, to really hear God's voice. What we have to do is we actually have to slow the pace down and silence all the noise of the shouting of this world, to just pause and to listen and to be still and know that I am God. This is God. You are God. In fact, Jesus said this about prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, who are these religious kind of people in the day that Jesus was on the earth. And he was saying, who go out on the street corners, who pray long and loud, impressive prayers for everyone else to see. He says, don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Look how spiritual I am. But he said, instead, go to the privacy of your own prayer closet, lock the door, put everything out of your mind in that moment, and just enjoy my presence all alone. Be still and know that I am God. It's a dangerous prayer to say, speak, Lord. So you might say, okay, so PC, am I going to hear the audible voice of God? Like a Morgan Freeman voice speaking to you in like King James Version language? Well, you just might, right? I'm not sure. But I promise you that there are so many different ways, and I hear from God in so many different ways in my own life, and it doesn't sound like Morgan Freeman ever, but just in case, right? Yet what I want you to recognize mostly and most importantly and most reliably is that he speaks through his word. God speaks through his word. So you're wondering, what does it look like? What does it sound like? How does God speak to me? This is the first one. His word is living. His word is active. It will speak to you. It will convict you of wrongdoing and sinfulness in your life. The word will correct you. It will guide you. It will comfort you, and it will encourage you, and it will build your faith. And it's God's living word. We, as Christians and followers of Jesus, are actually people of the word. And if you tell me you haven't heard from God, I would probably tell you that you might not be spending enough time in his word. Because his word will speak to you. God speaks through his word. Here's another one. God also speaks through his people. God speaks through people. God might speak to you through a message. God might speak to you through a song, a podcast, a preaching, whatever it might be that someone wrote. And God might speak to you through a close friend even. I can't tell you how many times in my life, and you know what, honestly, it sometimes annoys me, but God speaks to me through my wife, Angela. Thank God she's not here just for a moment. All the time, and it's so annoying. It happened this week, actually. I was having a bit of a meltdown, a bit of a moment, and worried about some things in my life. And you're like, what? Worried? Pastor Chris? Yeah, sometimes I experience human things too. And it's true. And I was a bit annoyed, and I was worried. And Pastor Angela, she tells me, she says, check your heart and grow some faith, Chris. And I'm like, boom! Like, it would have been better just for her to punch me in the face. It would have felt better. Right? You know, check your heart and grow some faith. I was like, yeah, man up. Okay, well, you know. Anybody else ever had a faithless, worried moment? Good, just me? Not just me, I'm good. Someone said yes, a few. See, like, this is what Pastor Angela says, like peace is not found in the absence of problems, Chris, but found in the presence of God. Well, thanks, babe. Where did you see that? You posted it last week, actually, she said, on socials. I'm like, oh, God, thanks for my wife today. Like, God sometimes uses my wife, but God will use people to speak to you. God will speak to you through people. Here's another one. God also will speak to you through circumstances. It's really cool. Like, you think there's no way you could ever do what you'd like to do, and then suddenly this door opens, and it had to be God. Like, no other way it could have been but God. And or you really, really want something, and you really want it, but when then the door closes, and you wonder, well, how did that happen? It was exactly what I wanted, God. Like, what are you doing? Maybe God closed the door for you. Some of you ought to thank God for a closed door. Sometimes you were dating that door and you wanted it, and now 10 years later you see what that door looks like. You ought to thank God you didn't date that door any longer. Someone else walked through that door instead. God, thanks for closing that door for me. God opens doors and God closes doors, and he uses circumstances in our life to speak to us. God is speaking all the time, and what I'm asking you is, are you listening? God speaks through his word. God speaks through people. God speaks through his circumstances. God is speaking. God will also speak to you through his spirit. His spirit, for those of you that are followers of Jesus Christ, you are spiritually new. In other words, your spirit can now communicate with God's spirit, and that's why when you just kind of ask God, guide me, God, direct me, God, God, speak to me, you'll have the most unusual senses or promptings even in your life, and you won't necessarily be able to explain it. I don't know what it is, but you'll say things like, I don't know why, but I just feel prompted to do this, to do something. I can't completely explain it, but I'm feeling led to do something. And you might wonder now, how do I know this is God and not last night's Mexican food? Here's what I know is that whenever you're being prompted to be a blessing or to be generous, that's never the devil telling you to bless somebody, by the way, or to be generous, right? I'm just feeling prompted to give something. That's the Lord speaking to you. I'm feeling prompted to be an encouragement. That's not the devil. That's God speaking to you, right? You know, like, I'm just going to stay home from church. Bam, not God, by the way. Probably, I hate this job. Not God. You just need to hook up so you feel appreciated. Not God. I'm feeling prompted to, you know, to reach out to express my care for you. Ding. That's probably God. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to text you. That's God prompting you by his spirit. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you right now. And I can't quite discern the reason behind it. But I thought I was supposed to give you this. That's what I'm sensing. That's the Lord speaking to you through his spirit. Like, God's word lines up with scripture. So if you have a question, is this God? Sometimes all you have to do is get back to his word. And does this line up with God speaking? If it sounds like God and it feels like God and it lines up with his word and his scripture, it's probably God. If it doesn't and it lines up with the enemy and everything bad and good and evil and selfish and all that, it's probably not God. Because what you want to do is you want to make sure that what you are, when you're hearing from God's spirit, well, guess what it's going to do? It's actually going to align with the heart and character of Jesus, by the way, and actions of Jesus. So I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I'm going to be still. Here's a practice you could try. When you pray tonight and tomorrow, try to say, God, who do you want me to pray for? And then just pause and listen. God, who are you putting or wanting to put on my heart to pray for tonight or to reach out to today? Really simple, right? And then what do? You pray for the first person he puts on your mind. And if it always seems to be that one girl that you keep thinking that you're going to marry, dig a little deeper. It's okay to dig a little deeper. And then lift her up to you. But then, God, could you give me another name? Oh, good, good. Okay, I'm going to pray for that person too. Right? And just lift that name up and pray before God. And before you know it, 10 minutes goes by and another name pops into your mind and you lift them up before God. And it's beautiful. Like, you can be present and allow his spirit to speak to you. And here's the bottom line. The more you listen for God's voice, the better you're going to be able to discern it. The more you listen for God's voice, the better you will be able to discern God speaking. The more you listen, the more you're going to recognize. Be still before the Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The first thing is, number one, is be still. We want to be still. The second thing is be willing. Be willing to do whatever it is that God leads you to do. We're asking bold prayers, praying dangerous prayers. God, speak to me. But now I want to be willing. Be willing to do what he has asked me. I don't know about you, but so often my prayers are kind of like babbling, like I mentioned earlier. Ah, God, do this, and this is my wish list, and here's my problem list, and if I were you, God, this is how I would do it, and this is who I would bring into it. This is, God, if you only knew what you were doing, it'd already be done by now, by the way. Oh. What if instead of going before God with our list of demands, what if instead we came before him with a blank sheet of paper? God, what do you want to say to me today? God, who do you want to show me? And to be willing to apply it. Write it down. Like maybe recently you feel like you've been hitting a spiritual wall or ceiling in your life, and you are struggling in your faith and battling some kind of internal emotions and turmoil. And going to God might look more like, God, show me where in my life I have things that I'm doing or thinking that do not represent the life that you died to give me. Show me where my motives are impure, God, where I have selfish motivations, agendas maybe that don't reveal the heart of God. Show me where I'm not trusting you. Like dangerous prayers. I'm inviting you to a new season of praying dangerous prayers, of praying tough prayers, prayers that not only move the heart of God, but actually move you. See, you won't move God's heart if you can't be moved yourself. If it doesn't move you to action, it's probably not moving God to action. And we pray tepid, safe prayers. I'm like, can we pray differently? I believe we can pray dangerous prayers. I believe we can pray a different way, tough prayers. But what you will find is that God will show up and will begin to work in your heart. If you're willing, he will begin to purify you. He will begin to empower you to actually confess the sins that are holding you back and allow you to start breaking through some of your spiritual ceilings and spiritual barriers that you've been up against for a number of months or years. And I don't know what you might pray for or ask God, but maybe your marriage has been tough in this season that you're walking through right now. And so you just ask God, can you help me to love my spouse differently, God? Can you help me to love them differently and in a way that's loving and honoring of you right now, God? And then just listen for a moment and to see what he might have to say to you. God, I don't want to just come to church, but I want to be your church. Maybe that's a prayer for you. God, show me where to use my gifts to honor your bride, to honor the church. God, what do I have that would bless somebody else today, Jesus? And then listen, where do you want me to be generous? God, who is it today in my life that you've planted in my life that needs encouragement today? Show me, God. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then listen. But you got to be willing. Now listen, this is very important. Somebody needs to hear this. Whatever you do, make sure that you obey what God showed you last before you want to hear him say something to you next. Because if you're feeling stuck right now and doors aren't opening and you don't feel God's presence near you and you don't sense God, maybe God isn't showing you what to do in the future because you haven't done what he gave you to do in the past. Like you haven't taken the last step of obedience that God asked you to take. And he's still there at that last step, waiting for you to take that step. Just go back to the last thing. If you're feeling stuck in this season, you're not hearing from God, just go back to the last thing that you remember God saying to you. Go back there and start with that. Start doing that first. Do that thing. Then he'll give you the next step. When you do that, I'll give you something else to do. So be willing to do what God has put in your heart. Be willing. How do we posture ourselves to hear from God then? Well, we're going to be still. We're going to be willing. And number three, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. We're incredibly important. Be ready because when God speaks, make sure you're ready to do whatever he says and what he shows you to do. Be ready to do it. See the head of the need, whatever that looks like, to be readied. Think about little Samuel, a little boy. He's working for Eli. Certainly he wants to honor the priest that he's working for. The man of God, and God says to him, this priest is not honoring me. I'm trusting you, a little boy, to have the integrity to carry this message before him, to go tell him, to tell him my judgment is coming. And you really should turn your heart back to God, Eli. And when you pray, it's a dangerous prayer. Speak to the Lord. I'm listening. You have to remember, God never gave an assignment to anyone in Scripture that was easy for them to fulfill. God may speak to you, and he may reveal something to you about yourself that you didn't really want to acknowledge about yourself. And here's my sinfulness, and here's where I'm wrong. And it gives you an opportunity to say, God, I'm sorry. Thank you for showing me this. God may spur you to do something that you really don't feel qualified to do. God is leading you to take a step to lead in a way, or to lead in your workplace, or to lead in your church, or serve on a team. And maybe you've never prayed out loud in a team huddle before, and you're scared to death. Or someone at work asks you to pray because they know you're kind of a Christianese kind of person. Do you pray? Well, sometimes. Can you pray for me? And you just take a bold step and you pray a prayer of faith. Are you scared to do it? God may spark in you to go back to school or change careers or to move out of your parents' basement because you're 30 now, or maybe to reach out to your boss that scares you to death and you invite your boss to come to church with you, or to go public on social media with your faith, be bold somewhere. What about this? Maybe to forgive someone who wronged you, even though they didn't ask for forgiveness and they certainly don't deserve it. It's a dangerous prayer. God, speak to me, but be willing and be ready. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Last week, I invited you to join me for 7 days praying. Make me bold, God. Make us bold. And this week, I would love it if you would have the courage alongside your friends and fellow laborers in the kingdom and alongside myself and Pastor Angela, just to have the courage and the faith to just stop before you start the day and say, God, speak to me today. Last week was, God, make me bold. This week, God, speak to me today. You have the permission to interrupt me today, God. God, show me someone who's hurting in my circle of influence. God, give me the faith to follow your voice. And God may speak to you. I believe he will. And when he does, you'll be like, I need more details. Because don't we all like details? I need the deets, God. Listen to me. You probably can't handle the deets. Just do it by faith. What God calls you to do, step into it. Be still so you can hear. Stop all the talking, right? Be still. I want to hear from you, God. Be willing and be ready to hear from our living God. And if you have a question, just ask it. That's okay too. But then listen for a response. It's a dangerous prayer, I know. Don't ask him to speak if you don't want to hear what he has to say. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But the only thing more dangerous than praying this prayer, friends, is not praying this prayer. Because if you do pray this prayer, God's going to stretch you. You're going to feel unsettled. You're going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to stretch your faith. But if you don't pray this prayer, you're going to miss out. I want a God who loves you and created you for his glory. You're going to miss out on what he wants to do in you and to possibly do through you. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's one that you want to pray. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Thank you, Jesus. All around the room, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to pray for you.